Last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour. They leave that weird shepherd dude and continue forward to moving mountains. I don't even know if it's what it's called. Jumping mountains, spinning mountains. Mountains that are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, basically. And they have to, like, fucking jump through it like a pinball machine, basically. And they just go, ding, 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 ding. And then they make it to this other area that has this, what, it's like a gate or city thing or something that they want to get to. But then that starts, like, moving around, too, in ways that it shouldn't be. And then finally they make it to, oh, no, it, like, is jumping around. I don't know. Things are happening that shouldn't be happening. And what do they do? Oh, and they see all these, oh my God, what are they called? Thistles? And everyone's like, I can't walk on that. I can't walk on that. Like, you're not going to make me do that. And so, so fucking Sawhorse and the Woozy, who feel nothing, were like, that's fine, we'll do it. And they carry everyone over. What else do we do? What else do we do? There's the wall. They walk through it because it's not really a wall. Oh, and then they meet the people that have diamond heads. And they, what do? They just are like, we don't know strangers. We don't know strangers. Go to the person in charge. But he's not in charge. They go meet him. He, what does he do? What does he do? He's like, I'm just like, dude, I don't want to be a king because they're going to kill me. And then they eat and, oh, they see dragon thing. I don't even know what it was. It was some weird, what, chariot or something. And then I can't remember what happens after that. But that's, yeah, we're good. I'm done.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 72 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing book 11, The Lost Princess of Oz, covering chapters 10 through 12.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone.
And Wise William.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, Hannah Aguirre.
Hello.
Classic.
We've had that one, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
You're just going to get... This is my personality, okay? It's being British sometimes.
You have a full week to prepare. Hannah just played last time on, where she recapped what happened last time on Oz Hour. How long did that take?
Minute 53.
Ooh, that's a lot.
They've for been
a
very little. Long lately.
Yeah, they have been.
You guys are giving me too much information.
Do not tell Hannah that she's creative. She will have too much fun. So, just a couple of things that I want to clarify from your summary. The merry-go-round mountains are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You called
mountains.
Them the jumping mountains. I don't know what you called them, but that's what's doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They find a city with a super high wall around it. You ended up getting there, but you think you called it like a fence or something. They start making their way toward it. When they get there, the High Coco Lorum of Tea takes them for a ride in his auto dragon.
High Coco Lorum.
High Coco Lorum. Cutie patootie.
Forgot about you.
Also, the High Coco Lorum, before they leave, warns them not to go to the land of the Hercus because they are mightier than giants.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anything else?
No.
So, before we started recording, we went ahead and whipped up some cocktails. What do we have?
Tonight we're drinking the Golden Peach. This is some peach schnapps and kind of like a Bellini, Prosecco, mimosa sort of thing.
They should make peach schnapps with, or wait, they should make Bellinis with schnapps more often.
Well, we don't know that. We might hate this.
Oh, that's true. Go for it.
Let's go. Slurp.
So that's a piece of candy.
Ooh.
Hold on to your hat, Hannah.
That's strong.
That's strong. Chapter 10. Toto loses something.
So the game.
Pause. Can we skip this chapter?
I literally thought we were about to have to like call cut and be like, okay, why? We can't skip a chapter.
No. I'm literally like, my first note is this chapter should never happen.
Girl.
Oh, no.
He's, like, not even kidding.
This isn't going to be in my recap for next week. So
don't worry. We will not tell you that you missed something if you omit this.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're sorry. If you want to do something else, go change a headlight. Yeah. Put the baby down.
Skip
to
ahead
in
to 624, and, and that'll probably be where we end this.
So we begin with the gang leaving the city of T. They have to get the fuck away from that place. But they keep losing their way because, as we know, the land outside of it
they're
spins.
Still in the moving lands. But it's easy because they literally just have to, like, someone just be riding backwards on the line and making sure that the city of T stays directly behind them. Because they're just trying to go directly away from it. And then they're fine, right?
It's like all they had to do on the way there as well.
Yeah. So it's just, it's really just a mild annoyance. Yeah.
Finally, they make it out of the turning land, and they come to this, like, stony, kind of grassless land.
Yeah. But there are berries.
Yes.
And they are extremely hungry.
Yes.
Because they did not eat thistles.
Oh, yeah.
The berries are delicious. Everyone is picking them, like, ravenously. And they're just getting as many as they can to cure their hunger while they camp for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Because it's also getting dark at this point. Like, they spent a lot of their time getting to the city of T. And then when they were like, oh, you don't want to stay for the banquet, like, it was already, you know, 4 o'clock or something. So,
yeah, this day
sucked. You don't have what we need.
Yeah.
We're
you don't have Ozma or food. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool,
nothing.
But the wizard, so they're all getting ready for bed, basically. The wizard tucks in all three of the girls together. He, like, lays out the blankets and tucks them into, like, a little bundle.
So it is cute, but I'm like, when did they become the fucking kittens with mittens?
I know,
like,
literally.
What is that?
It's like a Christmas special. Yeah. But
they're all like,
yeah. They're doing that thing where, like, they're going, and there's, like, a log getting sawed above them. I'm imagining something different than you.
You had a saw getting logged. I had them, like, drooling in their sleep.
It's both. Button Bright crawls under a bush and goes to sleep.
I'm picturing him, like, you know, like, when kids, like, fall asleep, like, on their knees with their, like, hips up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just, like, he just, like, crawled under a bush and then stopped.
Yeah. Ass up.
I was going to say that. It just felt weird.
Well,
because honestly, Button Bright is still dressed like a little sailor for me.
I'm just saying what you thought.
It just doesn't sound right to say he's face down, ass up. That's all I'm going to say.
I get it.
So the wizard doesn't get much sleep at first because he sits with his back against his boulder and he's like, oh, what the fuck are we going to do? What the fuck are we doing? I got to figure this out.
Yeah, because it's dangerous. Like, he's just reflecting on the day. All the animals.
Weird day.
It is
weird.
Weird day.
Ozma's missing. All the magic's missing. The first 48 hours in a missing person investigation are the most crucial. And I think we're at, like, 73.
Yeah.
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 A couple days.
But since Ozma can't be killed, it's actually less crucial.
That's true.
But she can be tortured.
She can be.
She can be tortured.
She could be.
All the lights, like, start. She's too powerful. Okay, we're losing it.
Me saying let's skip this chapter. So
we're going to spend 45 minutes on it.
Yeah, literally. Okay, well, so the animals, though, which is Toto's one of them, they're, like, far enough away. The people are just, like, doing their thing. The animals are talking a bit, like, without anyone, like, you know, without waking anybody up. But Toto has been pretty silent all day. He's, like, not feeling super well, it seems like. And he, like, kind of just admits to the animal group that he lost his growl.
Yeah.
Aw.
Like,
and remember,
don't ask questions. Don't. Sorry. They will ask enough questions.
Okay. The cowardly lion is trying to get to sleep, and he's like, I don't know what could have happened to your growl, Toto. Wasn't keeping track of it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He's like, that's your responsibility. I really thought you would have been keeping track of
it. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, because also, what does that mean?
Toto's like, it's a terrible thing for a dog to lose his growl. What would you do if you lost your roar?
Oh my God, he's from London.
I don't know why. I don't know why you're doing that.
I don't know. He's Tom Holland.
But the lion's like, oh, like, yeah. I mean, I would hate it if I lost my roar. Like, I use that. Hank, the donkey, says he lost his bray once when he couldn't, but it was before he could talk. So he was, like, really hungry. Betsy didn't come and feed him, but now he can talk, so it doesn't actually matter. Like,
that's
her
fault.
Wait, who said that?
Hank, the donkey.
Oh, okay.
Betsy's mule.
Toto's like, well, you may not have been able to bray then, but you make enough noise now. And he's just like, why isn't anyone answering my question? The important thing here, where's my growl? And the Woozy's like, who the fuck cares?
Is his growl magical?
Well, we'll find out later, maybe. But Toto, so the
Woozy. How dare you ask a question like that? How dare you even be thinking like that?
I have to.
Someone has to. But the Woozy saying he doesn't care makes Toto be like, well, you snore terribly. Like, you make lots of noise. And I kind of remember, didn't he snore in the Patchwork Girl? Isn't that how they found him, like, in his enclosure?
Maybe he did. Honestly, that's funny you should say that, because I thought this was the most fucking random thing ever. I was like, all right.
I know.
But they tell the Woozy, well, he snores, and the Woozy's like, okay, that's when I'm asleep. Like, wake me up sometime. I'll see if I like the way it sounds, and then we can talk about my snore. Like, what do you want me to do?
Sawhorse is like, I wish whoever took Toto's growl would take all of your noises. I hate all the noises you make. Like, I wish you all stopped making noises.
He's like, I'm not a meat horse. Fuck all of you.
But Toto is like main character syndrome, and he's like, oh, so it was stolen. So it was stolen. Yeah. My growl was taken.
So it's confirmed.
Yeah. He's like, I only lost it once before, but like, I had a sore throat, so it was different.
He does not have a sore throat now.
No.
But Hank is like, oh.
Hank is basically jumping in, being like, you know, well, like, being a dog is so strange. Like, mules are the most beautiful creature. And the Woozy.
Okay, what does that have to do?
I know.
Why are we doing this again?
I know.
Every book. Well, no, we haven't done this for a while.
Yeah, we'll get there.
All those writing classes he took.
Down the drain.
Maud is like, Lyman, what that happened?
What's going on?
So Woozy sits up to examine Hank. And he's like, oh, well, beauty must be in the eye of the beholder if you think that you're the most beautiful thing.
Because you've got big-ass elephant ears and a long paintbrush tail and big clumsy hooves and a long neck and a skinny body with all the ribs poking out. And you're dusty. And you don't get no bitches.
Oh, my God.
And you got buck teeth up on your head.
So it's
like all this, yeah, like he went off. But so, yeah, Woozy's like, there's no way you're the most beautiful thing or else one of us is wrong. Hank's like, you're a square. If I looked like
literally,
you,
you're a cube. Yeah. You're a cube.
Don't talk to him like that.
He's like, if I looked like you, I guess you'd think I was beautiful because you're a fucking block.
Aww.
And he is like, yeah, maybe I would. You would look better, but you know, beauty's on the inside as well as the outside.
Period.
Hank literally is like, fuck yeah. Rolls over.
Yeah.
He has nothing to say.
Yeah. The lion at this point looks at Tony's like, if they're beautiful, then we must be super ugly because they are strange looking and freakish. I don't know.
Are we in middle school right now? You're
like, oh, I'm Trina the talking tummy.
Well, Toto opines something actually astute, which is, hey, like, he's like, you know, lion, you and I are both like great specimens of our own species. Like, there's no way to judge us. Like, yeah,
I'm a perfect dog. You're a perfect lion.
And he's like, only the sawhorse could name the most beautiful among us because he's not really an animal. And
so sawhorse is like, I'll choose.
Yeah.
Oh,
literally.
He's
yeah.
He's up for the job.
And they're all like, okay, we will accept your judgment in
he's
this.
Like, great.
Yeah. For
he's
some
like, I'd love
reason.
To. I've been sitting here silently.
I've been waiting.
The sawhorse.
But then the sawhorse does have an opinion.
Oh, he's like, has
you all,
been waiting.
You all have to accept my judgment. And they're like, we will. And he's like, okay, you're all meat animals, right? So if you don't eat, you're going to starve. If you don't sleep, you're going to get exhausted. If you don't drink, you're going to die of thirst. Therefore, you're imperfect. I, on the other hand, I don't need any of those things. So I am perfect. Therefore, I'm the most beautiful specimen.
Yeah. So he just drags them all. And they have to agree now.
He's like, Dorothy always says handsome is as handsome does. And I do everything handsomely.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, queen.
Someone get him a dictionary. Yeah.
But they all laugh at this, basically. But the lion says, hey, you know, we're all different. Like, it's good because variety is the spice of life. Like, we can't compare ourselves to each other. Like, that's the best thing.
Like,
it's
then
great
why?
That we're all
you're
different.
The one who made me read 5 pages about it.
I know. But then Toto brings us back to the question.
Yeah, Toto's like, here, here. Good job, lion. Where's my growl?
Lion says,
let's bring it back.
Literally, the lion says, Toto, your growl is your responsibility and problem, and you shouldn't be worrying us about it and inflicting that on us.
Damn.
So please go be unhappy on your own.
Yeah, he says, if you love us, you will suffer silently. And I'm like, oh, is that what friends are for?
Oh my
yeah,
God.
I know. But then Toto's just like, if the same person who took my bark took Ozma, he must be a really mean fella.
No. He says, if the same person who stole Ozma stole my crap.
And that's the end of chapter 10.
Oh.
Toto loses his bark. Or no, Toto loses something. Blake, what would you call that?
Meat dog makes a nothing burger.
Chapter 11. Button Bright loses himself.
Doesn't he always?
Everyone needs to stop losing things.
Yeah, focus up, everybody. We're
I can't hear about it anymore.
I wish that there was a video of the way your whole body just went limp. So last night, while everyone slept, Scraps spent the whole night wandering around the rocks and bushes, because remember, they're on this like kind of like rocky land.
Oh, yeah.
Now. The next morning, when everyone
also,
wakes up.
Sorry, I just want to say, because I had a revelation. It says like she doesn't need to sleep, and then she can also see very well in the dark. You know how this whole book, they've been like, yeah, Scraps has the best eyes on the planet. Like, yeah, Scraps' button eyes see really good. She can see in the dark.
He meant it.
I'm remembering that in the Patchwork Girl of Oz, she's the only one that could see at night before they went to that haunted cabin.
Oh,
remember
and
that?
She stayed
oh
out
my
all
God.
Night and she saw the wolf
yeah.
circle the
yes.
door three times.
And so I'm like, oh my God, why were we being so savage about like the eye thing and this vision
like,
thing
she's
earlier?
She's not literally
like,
made
not
of magic.
Her main thing. Like that was the first thing we learned about her. So
okay.
anyway. So she
epiphany.
Yeah. And so she can see in the dark. And so that's why she was out. So anyway, it's the morning now, though. So yes.
Yes. And Scraps, with her good eyes, has some good news. Just over the hill that's ahead of them is a grove of trees with a bunch of fruit trees growing in it.
Okay, let's eat.
Yeah, and they love to hear that. Yeah, they pack up their blankets, they saddle up, and they hit the road.
Apple teeth.
Yes. They say, phone, keys, wallet. Okay, let's go. They hit the road, and they get over the hill, and yeah, it's this huge orchard that stretches for miles in every direction, which,
huge.
As we know, every time in Oz, when you cross a hill, you see something that stretches for miles in every direction.
Yeah.
Whether it's the merry-go-round mountains, or a goddamn river, or an orchard of trees, there's always something just over
there's
the hill.
Always that something to
true.
Reveal.
So that's what they see, and they're pleased. It's great.
Yeah, usually I would say stop going over hills, but this is good.
No.
Their path leads directly through the fruit orchard, so they're like, let's go.
Yeah.
They pick up the pace. First, they come to some quince trees. They're not fans of quince. I had to Google what that
yeah,
is.
I was like, what the fuck
that's
is
the
quince?
Citrus fruit that you eat the skin of.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It was. It looks like a little orange.
Oh, no, that's so. A kumquat, I think, that you eat the skin of. Or, well, you can, or you should.
I probably
it's hard
wouldn't.
To take it off. You shouldn't. It's bad.
Skins make me feel weird.
Quince.
They move deeper into the orchard. After that, there's rows of citron and crab apples and lemons and limes.
Finally, they run into oranges. And they're like, oh my God,
yes.
something we can actually eat.
These golden oranges, they are sweet and juicy, just like this ass. Mm. And they hang low on the branches, which makes them really easy to pick. So it's like, yay.
Yeah. So they start picking some of those. They're eating them. They're still walking. They come to some big apple trees. They start to eat those. The wizard puts a bunch of apples like in the end of a blanket and like ties it to, I guess, a sawhorse or something.
Yeah, because he decided that they didn't need food.
Yeah. He was like, oh, now I think about putting food
yeah.
in a blanket.
He
yeah.
was actually, he abandoned food twice because when they were leaving the Emerald City, he wasn't going to take food or blankets. And then
Captain Bill
was
had
like,
to come
was
out.
Like,
hey.
shouldn't the wizard have had, well, I guess all of his magic was taken, but I was like, shouldn't he have had some instant meal capsules or something? Or like
oh, right.
little handkerchiefs that he could charm into
well,
tents that had full kitchens
the
inside?
The Tin Woodman and
oh, they were the
and Scarecrow were eating pills, so the pills are still
it's
there.
It's true, but they were eating pills at the college.
Go to the college.
Anyway.
So, anyway.
But he's like, basically he's like, I don't know where we're going to end up next. Like they might only eat thistles wherever we're going again. But like
yeah.
with apples, we can never starve. And I'm like, what?
Well, they go bad.
Yeah.
yeah.
They're
and like,
they're perishable.
If you only eat apples the rest of your life, you will die.
Yeah. yeah that too.
Your like, gums are going to bleed.
There was yeah. a woman once that only ate bananas.
Did she also swallow a fly? What is this? What do you mean there was a woman?
There once was a woman who bananas only ate. A fly she did swallow, and that was her fate.
Whoa.
I know that one.
Woo, 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 woo.
yeah.
So yeah. Scraps is going along, climbing the trees and just swinging from one tree to the next. And she's gathering a bunch of fruit doing it.
And she is loving it. She's just like swinging. Literally, it's Tarzan. I'm literally imagining her like grabbing the vines, like swinging, like doing like the loop-de-loop thing.
Just dropping apples and fruit as she goes. Yeah. And everyone's like, yay, Scraps.
And she's getting the good ones because it's way up high where like other people can't reach, obviously. So like she's getting good fruit for them. So it's awesome, actually.
They're having so much fun. And then Trot is like, where's Button Bright?
Oh my God.
He's disappeared. And Dorothy's like, well.
That's what he does.
Yeah, she's like, he must have gotten lost again. Like, I guess we just have to wait here for him to come back before we leave. Which is fair. I mean, they can't, you know. But Betsy's like, Betsy is chowing down on some plums. And she's like underneath a plum tree. And she's like, all right, like, we can stay here for a little bit, I guess.
That's like a bad place to bite.
She's like stuffing her like pockets and like mouth full of plums.
I do love a good plum.
I know, and
too,
I get it.
Wait till it catches up with you, Betsy. I promise.
I know. Yeah, all they've eaten is yellow berries and now plums.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Scraps is like, how are we going to wait here and find Button Bright at the same time? And Dorothy's like, I don't know. Maybe Button Bright will find his way back to us over here.
Which Trot's response is, in her experience, anytime Button Bright tries to find his way somewhere, that's how he gets lost.
Yeah. Him like, losing his way is that's him trying to find his way. The wizard agrees, and he's like, everyone else, just stay here. I'll go find Button
Finally,
Bright.
An adult chimes in.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
A child is missing.
Yeah. Two children.
Well, oh my gosh.
How old is Ozma?
Well, good question. Betsy is like, well, like, what if you get lost too? Like, the wizard's like, let's just hope not.
Fingers
but Scraps has a new
fingers
idea.
Fingers and toes crossed. Scraps drops down out of a tree, and she's like, yeah. Let me go. I can't get lost, and I'm more likely to find Button Bright than you are.
And then she is gone in a flash.
Who said that?
Scraps. And before anyone can say anything, she's like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She does have the best possible vision, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That was I think her logic was fucking nuts.
I think it's crazy. Although, maybe she is faster than an old man.
Toto looks up at Dorothy and he's like, Dorothy, I've lost my growl.
Yeah. Literally, he just appears next to her. And she's like, ah!
She's like, God, I keep forgetting you can talk.
Yeah. But Dorothy's like, oh, like, well, she asks how, and he says he doesn't know. He just reports that yesterday the Woozy almost stepped on him and he tried to growl, and he couldn't.
Dorothy's like, well, can you bark? And he's like, oh, yeah, I can bark. And she's like, okay, well, then.
Yeah, she's like, don't worry.
Forget about it.
Yeah, like, forget about the growl. It doesn't matter.
And also, it's happened before, and you got it back somehow, so.
Yeah. Right.
But he had a sore throat last time, but he doesn't have a sore throat this time.
No,
but
like
Dorothy
is stolen.
But he's like, Dorothy, what am I supposed to do when I get back to the City of Emeralds and I see the glass cat and the pink kitten? What am I supposed to do then? I won't be able to growl at them. And Dorothy is literally like, they are not going to mind if you can't growl at them.
No, he's like, they will not even care about that.
They will be. They will
they
love
prefer.
That.
Yeah, they will love that. But she says she's sorry. And she's like, hey, I get it. Like, it sucks. You always lose the things that you want to find the most. Like, you know, that's fine. She's like, but, you know, you'll probably find your bark before the journey's out, which probably is accurate.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time. But Toto is like, Dorothy, do you think the same person who stole Ozma stole my growl? And the studio audience is like, aww. And Dorothy like smiles down at him and she's like,
sure,
maybe,
bud.
Toto.
Maybe. But then Toto's like, well, in that case, that person is a scoundrel.
Watch your profanity.
Yeah. Well, Dorothy's like, the person who stole Ozma is as bad as possible. That is the worst possible
It's
person.
Not about your fucking growl.
Let's not forget about Ozma here.
Literally.
Let's put Christ back in Christmas in this situation.
Exactly. Yeah. She's like, when we remember about Ozma being stolen, like, that's maybe a bigger problem in the grand scheme of things. And Toto doesn't really like hearing that.
He just goes, he sneaks away, crawls under a bush and tries to growl. He's like,
yeah, he's like rolling around trying to growl.
Oh, fuck.
He literally barks a couple times on accident and then he has to give up and he just comes back and then is just quiet.
He's like a dog.
Yeah.
No, yeah, no. It's yeah.
Weird. So about Button Bright. Button Bright didn't realize he was lost at first.
No. Has no notice of that. He's just been wandering from fruit tree to fruit tree, seeing what he can find.
Yeah, he realizes that he's like alone, but at first he's like, oh, it's fine, like I'm not that far, like whatever, like it's gonna be fine. But he finds apricot trees. He finds cherry trees. He finds tangerines. Okay. He
Brutta hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. He apparently has been making a mental list of every fruit in the world. And he's like, wow, we've seen every single fruit except for peaches. So apparently he's been keeping track.
Yeah. This kid in fucking 1920s Philadelphia has had every fruit known to God.
He knows about quinces and citrons, I guess. So, but he assumes there are going to be peaches. So he's on the lookout.
He's determined, yeah, to find some peach trees. So he wanders around the grove until he realizes that the trees around him are just nut trees.
Yeah.
He's like, I went out of fruit, so I'm in nuts.
Oh, my god!
But then he starts loading up on walnuts. He's like filling his pockets in walnuts. Yeah.
Finally, right in the middle of all the nut trees, Button Bright finds one solitary peach tree.
Oh.
It's a very healthy peach looking tree. Oh, yeah. And here we are with a peach. Lots of leaves, but only one peach. A perfect-looking peach.
It's large. It's fuzzy.
It's
rosy,
peach-colored.
Perfectly ripe.
I love a good peach, I must say.
Yes, and it's just...
Button Bright takes off those shoes and socks. He says, I'm climbing that tree.
He does?
Climbing?
Well, no, I just figured that's how he climbs the tree the best.
Oh, interesting.
He does?
He climbs the tree. He climbs the tree well.
I'm thinking that the tree is, like, tiny.
Oh, so, he climbs the tree.
I agree. When I've seen, like, peach trees that I've seen, not that big. But.
And this tree is bare enough for him to know there's only one peach on it.
Yeah. Well, it says there's lots of leaves, but there's only one peach.
Yeah.
So it's a healthy tree. It's not a bad peach.
But it's big enough to climb because he climbs it, crawls out on a branch and gets the peach.
Yeah. And it's a very, like, in reality, I don't think peach trees are that big, but this is a huge tree. He has to like climb out on this big branch. It's kind of scary. He like almost falls, whatever, but he grabs it. And it's a really nice peach.
He jumps back down to the ground. He's looking at this peach. He's like, risk well worth the reward. He takes a bite out of this peach, best peach he ever fucking tasted
best
in his whole life.
Best thing he's ever tasted.
Not since Eve ate her fruit has a fruit tasted better.
Oh my god, who's...
I don't know if that was that good.
I think they loved it.
No, okay.
They better have loved it.
I hope it was good.
Hannah got a period because of that.
Because Eve was weak. You're right.
The peach is so good that Button Bright is like, I should probably actually share this with Betsy, Dorothy, and Trot. He's like, this is like, they have to try this. It's the only one. But then he goes full Gollum.
Yeah. As he's thinking that, he's like, oh man, they would love this. Like, he's
really
precious. Yeah. Slurping it down.
But if I give it to them, there's none for me, precious.
Yeah.
He knows that he's not going to find another one, but he's telling himself, well, maybe I'll find another.
Yeah, he's like, maybe there's other peach trees. Yeah. Even though I only found this one peach tree in the middle of all the other trees, there's probably others.
I found this one with the nuts, but
pretty soon he's eating the entire thing.
He's
like,
in trouble.
Yeah, all that's left is the pit.
He's about to throw the pit away.
But something interesting.
Something
an earthquake happens.
Yes.
Something tragic. He is about to throw the peach pit, but he looks at it and he sees that the pit is made of pure gold.
Golden peach pit.
Wow.
He is like, Button Bright is like, wow. In the land of Oz, a golden peach pit is like one of the least fucking interesting things that you could possibly find.
Literally.
But what? I'm still going to, because it's like everything's crazy. Yeah.
Well, he's like, oh, this isn't like, exactly. He's like, this is not that crazy, but it is fun. So he puts it in his pocket. He's like, I'll show the girls later.
Hold on to that shit.
Yeah.
You find a singular peach.
That's a memory right
there. And it's the best peach you've ever had. And then instead of it being just a pit,
it's a gold
it's
pit.
It's gold. It's a gold nugget.
I don't care if you've seen it before. Just take it.
Yeah.
So Button Bright saves the peach pit and forgets about it like entirely within the next 5 minutes because he finally realizes, oh shit, like I'm lost.
Yeah. It's not that he's just around the corner from his friends. He has no idea where he is.
He's miles away.
And he's like immediately like, shit, like this is actually one of the most important trips I've ever been on. Yeah. Like we're looking for Ozma. He's like I'm delaying it.
Everyone hates it when I do this. And this is like the worst
gosh,
time.
Button Bright.
So,
I don't want him to be self-aware. It makes me sad.
Literally, I was going
to
say he's self-aware now.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
Button Bright is like, okay, I'll help them find me faster by shouting out for them. So he's like, hi, everybody, I'm here. I'm here.
But no one can hear.
He's the size of an ant.
I'm
down here. I'm over
here. Come find me. But literally, it says he screams like 12 times, and it's just like his voice is not going anywhere. Like, yeah. It's just he's too far away.
Well, and it's like the groves of trees are dense. So it's like your voice isn't going to travel far. It's like it's hitting all the trees, it's bouncing back at you. Mm. So, like, he's like, shit. So he just like sits down, and out loud, he says, well, I'm lost again. Too bad. Can't be helped.
Like, girl. Oh my God. That was really quick.
He went from, oh God, I'm lost again, to,
yeah, I'm lost again.
Yeah, that's Button Bright mentality.
Literally, yeah. He's got undiagnosed ADD. As he's sitting there, he looks up and he sees this bluefinch bird like flying down and landing on a branch out in front of him. And the bird's checking him out. You are probably familiar with this from when you were attacked by crows. But the bird's like doing that thing that birds do where it like looks at you with one eye, checks you out, looks at you with the other eye, checks you out. Like, oh, it's taking him in. And the bluefinch like flutters its wings and is like, oh, so you've eaten the enchanted peach, have you?
Button Bright. Is like, enchanted? Like, what do you mean by that?
The bluefinch tells
he's
him...
He's going to turn into an animal.
He's like, of course that peach was enchanted. Ugu the Shoemaker did that.
So now we're learning names. And Button Bright is like...
is Ugu.
Button Bright has questions, including why it was enchanted, how it was enchanted, what happens when you eat it.
He asks that literally back to back to back. But yeah. Why and how and what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know.
But the bird says you have to ask Ugu. Like, he's like, I don't know. Ugu the Shoemaker knows.
But the bird's like, who the hell is
then
Ugu?
Then send me to him.
Yeah,
who is that? Who's Ugu the Shoemaker? The bluefinch says that Ugu the Shoemaker is the one who enchanted the peach and placed it in the exact center of the orchard so that no one would ever find it.
And he says the birds are way too wise to eat the peach. But then he says, but you, Button Bright of the Emerald City, you! Ate the peach.
It's like all caps. You!
Oh my
Button
God.
Bright of the Emerald City, 5579 Oz Lane.
Yeah. He's like, and now you have to explain to Ugu why you did that. And then he flies away.
Before Button Bright can say anything.
Yeah. So to me, I'm like, oh my God, that bird was possessed.
Literally.
Like,
that
someone
was,
give me an arrow.
That was literally the ancestors talking through that bird.
Yeah.
But then Button Bright's just sitting there. He's like, so that just happened.
Yeah. But he's not that worried.
No. He's not particularly worried to have eaten the enchanted peach. All he knows is it tasted real good. So he goes back to thinking about how he's going to get back with his friends.
Yeah. And he has a very realistic thought, which he says aloud, which is that, you know, if he tries to find them, he's going to get more lost.
Yeah.
So he should just stay here, which, yeah, great advice
in
general.
That's what they tell kids to do.
Stay put.
But then a white rabbit appears.
A little white rabbit. It stops. It stares at Button Bright. And Button Bright's like, oh, a rabbit. Don't be afraid. I won't hurt you.
And the rabbit's like, I'm not afraid for me. I'm afraid for you.
Button Bright's like, I know. I'm lost.
And the rabbit's like, yeah.
I don't think he knows the gravity of what is going on in this place right now.
Literally.
Yeah, because the rabbit is like, you might be lost, but why would you eat the enchanted peach?
Everyone knows.
Yeah, and they know he ate it too. Like, they know everything.
Button Bright's like, there's two reasons.
The way
like,
my stomach would drop.
It's literally scary.
Yeah.
Button Bright's like, there's two reasons I ate that peach.
Which I just want to say, my reasons would be I'm starving and it was an edible fruit.
Yeah.
Like,
Button Bright's reasons were I like peaches, and the other reason is I didn't know it was enchanted.
Which is a good excuse.
Honestly.
Not the reasons he ate it.
The white rabbit's like, good luck telling Ugu the Shoemaker that.
Oh, and then the rabbit runs off.
Everyone stop doing that.
Yeah,
then
I know.
Then a wild boar walks in.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
No. Oh, I was
but and it says, Hakuna Matata.
But Button Bright thinks that, oh, like, birds and rabbits, like, they're just nervous. They're fearful animals. Like, if there was another peach half as good as that, I would eat it because the enchantment can't be that bad. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not afraid of a shoemaker.
Totally.
Suddenly, Scraps appears. And she's dancing through the grove.
Okay.
And then she's like, there you are.
She found him.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, you're up here Ultrix. Like, don't you know it's impolite to disappear? Like, everyone is waiting for you.
She's
come
lost
on.
Now.
Yeah, I'm literally.
Yeah, she's like, where are we?
Yeah. And she's like, come back with your friends.
Button Bright's like, oh, we've only lost a day. There's no harm done. And I repeat, in a missing persons investigation, every single fucking second counts.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, then, like, cut back to, like, Dorothy standing there scolding him, being like, you little motherfucker. You yeah. left. What were you thinking? You know that Ozma's lost, and every moment she could be in a goddamn prison, rotting away in a cell. How could you fucking leave us?
Like, Button Bright's like, if she's in a cell in a prison, how are we going to get her out anyway?
And she's like, don't you worry about that. Like, the wizard
like,
will
we
worry about
known
that.
Sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, literally, exactly.
But yeah, she's like, leave that to the wizard. And I'm like, leave that to Scraps. Scraps has figured everything out. Yeah.
Scraps
so
is coming in so clutch in this. And
thank God
I'm glad.
Those eyes
I always liked. I always liked Scraps.
I don't remember her being particularly like clever.
She was. That was her whole thing, was that she was clever. She liked to
sing
and
dance. Because
Ojo
put all that like cleverness in her.
Yeah.
I think it was specifically cleverness.
Yeah.
Or like intuition. There's
cleverness, cunning, and wit.
But the wizard is sitting there, and he's like, without my magic, I can't do anything other than what these small children can do. Like, so when Dorothy's like, yeah, well, if we find Ozma and she's in a prison cell, we'll just leave that to the wizard. The wizard's like, yeah, you know, important thing right now is we find Ozma, so let's go and stop talking. Everybody stop talking. They walk as far as the edge of the orchard, but by then the sun is setting. And they just have to, like, camp out under the trees.
Yeah. Which, not a bad thing. Like, they're still under fruit trees, so they're going to be able to eat in the morning. And in front of them is another big, like, plain of grass. So it's like, there's nothing for
just
a while.
Gotta get past that.
Yeah. So might as well sit down. And so they all go to, they all, like, cozy in. The wizard tucks all the kids in. Sawhorse and Scraps obviously aren't sleeping. Toto cozies up to the lion. The Woozy is snoring loudly, and so Scraps puts her apron over him to muffle the noise. And that's another night and the end of chapter 11. Button Bright loses himself. And Blake, what would you lose that?
The lost appetite. That's a thinker. Let that sink in.
Wow, that really says something.
That's deep.
This is a strong message.
Oh my God. Chapter 12. The Sorrowver of Hurku.
Say that again?
The Sorrowver of Hurku.
Don't expect me.
Yeah. No. In 1 week's time, Hannah, you're going to be like, and they go, and they go, and they go. And then there's the
and don't do it.
Single mode.
So just as the sun rises in the morning, Trot's waking up. She gets up out of the blankets and goes to the edge of the orchard to look out over the prairies that they're going to start crossing today.
And it sounds beautiful because, like, it's just sunrise and, like, it's the grasses. They're waving in the wind. And
she's Laura Ingalls Wilder right now.
Yes. And at the very far end of, like, these fields, she can see glimmering in the distance something on the horizon. And it looks like a city
and
in the sunrise.
Kind of, like, says to herself, she's like, that looks like another city. Scraps appears right next to her.
Scraps
ear,
walks
she's
into
like,
frame.
Another city it is.
Yeah, she's like, actually, me and the sawhorse. Literally, yeah. She and the sawhorse went on an expedition in the night, and she was like, yeah, we found another city. It's that. That's another city. She was like, it has really big walls. It's kind of like the other one, but like we couldn't get in. The walls are real this time. But like there's paths leading to it. So yeah, we should go there
she's
after
like,
you eat breakfast.
If y'all get up and eat breakfast, we can be there in 2 hours. I'm like, it's a 2 hour trip to the city, and her and the sawhorse just did that while everyone slept defenseless.
Cool. I mean, fair. I was gonna say the sawhorse can walk at the speed of light, basically, or
true. He can do it much faster. Yeah. That's true.
But still, I'm like, they probably should have been relying on them as sentries.
But when Trot goes back, she sees the other girls are awake, and she tells them what Scraps just told her. And everyone's like, okay, breakfast, breakfast, breakfast. They just eat a bunch of fruit and mount the animals. They head out toward this strange city.
Also, just to mention, Hank ate grass.
Okay, can I just say, my note starts with, just so that we know what everyone ate for breakfast. So yeah. You almost said that exactly.
I did. because Hank ate grass. The lion had stolen away to eat something to his liking. And Dorothy hopes it wasn't rabbits or mice.
It was.
It probably was.
Or something
and
bigger.
And it reminds,
if you could get it.
Yeah, it reminds me of the very first book when he was like, "Oh, Dorothy, if you're hungry, like I'll go kill a deer for us." And she was like,
"The Tin Woodman
was like,
wouldn't let her.
No, don't." But then he goes and kills a deer for himself. So and I feel like you went.
Dorothy was like, "I'll
40 wolves heads."
She's like, "If that lion gets me a deer, I'll clean it." Are you kidding?
Literally,
me?
Yeah, she's like, "I'll field dress it." Anyway, so they all ate.
Everybody ate, left no crumbs. So everyone's in pretty good spirits as they set out, except that, you know, the Ozma of Oz is missing and Toto doesn't know where his growl is.
Yeah.
But as they get closer to the city, they can see that it is much larger than T. Like,
yeah.
But it's square, so instead of like a rounded city wall, it's like a square city wall.
And there's a gate on each wall. Mm-hmm. So there's four. Thank God there's actually gates on this city, unlike the last one. And they're like made of bronze or something.
This city looks huge. Like, huge, tall, and like it almost looks like a fort. There aren't any banners flying. The towers jutting up out from the city don't have any ornaments on them at all, so it just looks like a city.
It's just stone, basically. Yeah, like it's like, okay, like it's giving like pre-medieval, because there's not like tapestries or anything.
A path leads directly from the orchard to the city, which means that these city people don't eat thistles, they eat fruit.
Thank God. But the gates are locked shut. And so the wizard pounds on them and says, "Open! Open!
Yeah, it's the police!"
Literally, yeah.
I was a little surprised by that. Huge heads suddenly appear above the city wall looking down at everyone.
Like, right above the wall, they just go like, and they look over.
Giants?
It would appear so, because immediately everyone is like, "Oh, those are giants. Those are huge heads. Those must be the giants that we've heard about already."
Oh my gosh.
But we're told that they all have like thick hair, and some are younger, some are older, based on like whether they have like blonde or brunette
hair,
white hair, graying hair. So it's like multi-generational giants.
Their faces look like really big and fierce, but their eyes look gentle and patient. So they don't seem like they're like going to be like vicious or scary, but who knows?
Yeah.
And one of the giants is like, "What's wanted?"
And the wizard's like, "Let us in." Like, we want to come in the city. That's why I said open.
That's another why I've been banging on that door.
Yeah.
Another giant's like, "Do you come in war or in peace?" The wire's like, "Peace, obviously, girl. Like, do we look like an army?
Do I look like?
Do I look?" And they're like, "We don't know. We're giants." But they say, "Okay, we're going to go and report to our masters. You're not allowed to come in without the permission of Vig the Czarover." And Dorothy's like, "Who's that?" And I'm like, "Oh, Dorothy, shut the fuck up.
Let them get him and you can figure it out.
The person who you need permission to get inside from. What the fuck do you mean, who's that?"
They also think that and ignore her. And they all just like, their heads disappear. And like, but a minute later, the gates roll open and a loud voice calls out and says, "Enter." So they do.
They do not waste any time. They get inside that city. And when they come into the city, they see that the streets are lined on either side with giants standing elbow to elbow. And there's about 20 on each side. So like the road just ahead is giants on each side.
Oh my God. And they're like, can't really see past them that well. They're all arm to arm. Also, we're told the giants are wearing yellow and blue uniforms, and they have a band of gold around their neck riveted onto them to show that they're enslaved.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like collared and
so
tagged.
So these are enslaved giants, which is something we've heard about this place, that they have giants as slaves.
These people are so strong that they have giants as slaves. So,
oh my God.
As the gang start walking down the street, the giants all turn and start walking single file in the same direction as them. So like they can't get off the road on either side. The giants are like guiding them somewhere.
Yeah.
It feels to Dorothy like they've been taken prisoners, because she's like, "We can't get out of here."
Yeah.
You guys really just did something bad.
And so everyone is like pretty interested. Well, everyone in this friend group here is like, what's going on here? Like, these people who live in this city must be super powerful to, like, make these giants their slaves. But they can see, like, through the giants' legs or whatever.
As they walk, they can see, like, the houses of the city and
the people.
People.
And they're all thin and scrawny, like, rail thin. They look tired. They look skin and bones.
They're, like, hunched over.
And Dorothy's like, how did these people enslave giants? But soon they're at the palace.
Yeah, they get to this big palace at the center of the city, and the giants like line up on either side of the entrance, so the gang is like forced to go through. And they go into a courtyard, and the gates close behind them. And standing in front of them is this like little skinny man, just like all the other people. And like it says like he has like this sad voice. Like he's just like weak and like sallow. And he's like, if you'll dismount, it would be my pleasure to lead you to the world's most mighty ruler, Vig, the Tsar Rover.
And Dorothy's like, I don't believe it. There's no way the Tsar Rover can hold a candle to our Ozma. And the man is like, okay, like, first of all, the Tsar Rover doesn't hold a candle to anyone. He would have someone else hold a candle if he wanted to. He doesn't do anything for himself. He has his slaves sneeze for him. You'll notice that we have slaves here. Like, don't. But, like, if you are brave enough, like, come on and see him.
The wizard's like, yeah, yeah, we dare.
Yeah, he's like, take us through, goddammit.
So they pass through several marble corridors with high ceilings, and each corridor is being guarded by servants. But these servants aren't giants. They're just like the normal people of the city. But like in this like gloomy palace, they look like skeletons just like guarding the way. They're
all that super skinny.
What is this place?
Finally, after taking all these turns, they enter this huge throne room. And it's circular. And there's a man sitting on a white marble throne with a purple silk hangings, golden tassels. He's also super skinny. And he's brushing his eyebrows, I think.
I'm like, why isn't someone brushing his eyebrows for him?
That's exactly what I thought.
He doesn't hold a candle.
Yeah, I was like, no one does anything for him, but he brushes his own eyebrows. Maybe it's a ritualistic thing. But
when Vig the Tsar Rover sees the gang come in, he puts his eyebrow comb away, and he tells them what a surprise it is to see them, because there have been no outsiders to ever come to the city of Herku.
And so now we know we're in Herku. Herku. Yeah.
Herku. Hercules.
I'm just going to say it now because I don't think it's really going to fit in. But I was really... So, he's the Tsar Rover, spelled C-Z-A-R, which is the, like, Tsar, right? Like,
of Russia.
Yeah, like, the Tsar of Russia is, like, the ruler of Russia during, like, the Russian regime, right? And I was like, okay, that's, like, Russian. Like, what could that mean? So I looked up Tsar over Herku. During the Crusades, like, in the 12th century, there was a guy who conquered part of the Prussians, which was the pre-Russian population in what is today Russia, named Herku, spelled the same.
Shut up.
So this is a reference to a Crusades era hero, real person hero. He got hanged in like 1270 or something because they defeated him. But for some reason, Elfring Baum decided to make this place. And I was like,
why?
And I don't know, because I was like, when it said that the city didn't have any ornaments, I was like, oh, I was kind of hoping it would be like St. Petersburg, you know, have the like kind of like ornamental towers. But I'll say it now, he doesn't do anything with this. Nothing else in this section has to do with that reference, but there is a reference. It's the exact same spelling, so I'm sure it's intentional.
He learned about Herku the Tsar, and he was like, I cannot think of cooler words than those.
Well, what I can say is that in 1917, there were in the aftermath of World War One, there was a lot of like thought process around like, I guess just like colonialism and like also like imperialism. And there were people, particularly in like Europe, who were using Herku as like a figure the same way that we would think of King Arthur, where like we know who that is, like mythologically, like and what that represents. And there was like plays in the US and across the world, like featuring Herku as a character. So it could have been just something that passed his, you know, desk basically as a cultural touch point.
Wow.
I don't know why he included this in here, but I just want to call it out because it's crazy.
It's
go look it up.
Yeah.
Go look it up. It's just so right there because
like
it's Tsar
Rover. A lot of the names he uses aren't really grabbing at anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just really random.
It's not like
names you probably never heard of.
No, he did this for a reason.
And that's exactly
I'm cracking Da Vinci's code.
Yeah. However, I will say Vig, which is the Tsar Rover's name, nothing.
My name is Vig.
Vig Tsar Rover.
Vig
anyway, sorry.
But yeah, so the Tsar Rover's like, nobody ever dares to come in here. He can't believe that they're there. And the wizard is like, well, we're looking for Ozma, the supreme ruler of the Land of Oz.
The wizard is on one right now.
Literally,
he's pounding on the doors, saying, let us in.
Is.
He's saying who's the supreme ruler. Like, he's using weird language.
But the Tsar Rover, and now that I know all of this, the Tsar Rover's like, okay, do you see her anywhere around here?
What is that?
I don't know. Probably, like, Prussian, which you can't prove.
Got it. Right. That's what Prussian sounded like, maybe. But he's like, no, like, do you see her around here? And they're like, well, no, but like, do you maybe know where she is? Like, have you seen her? And he's like, I have trouble enough keeping track of my own people because, you know, they're the strongest people in the world.
Dorothy's like, your people look like if you didn't have city walls, a strong wind would knock them to the ground.
Yeah.
And the Tsar was like, yeah, no, they look like that. Totally. They definitely do. But you noticed how I didn't let them get near you, right? Like, those giants protected you the whole way here.
Yeah. Because his people are so friendly with strangers. They're friendly. They're good people. But he's like, they would try and shake your hand, but they would break your arms and crush your fingers because they're so strong. They can't control it. They are so strong. And Button Bright, classic Button Bright. Why?
Like, it's funny because he does say, pshaw, that's bragging. Button Bright tells Vig that one time he saw a man in Philadelphia who could bend iron bars with his bare hands. And the Tsarevich's like, okay, well, bending iron bars, like, that's not a trick. Mm-mm. Could that guy crush a block of stone with his bare hands? Button Bright's like, no, nobody could ever do that, which got news for you, Button Bright, about the iron bars.
Yeah. Well, the Tsarevich says, oh, well, my throne is actually, like, a little taller than I want, so let me just break off a piece to show you how strong I am, because it's actually made of marble, which is stronger than stone. So he stands up, and he breaks a piece off. It's a foot thick.
Breaks off a foot thick piece of marble with his scrawny little body, mm-hmm. and he just, like, starts breaking it into little pieces. And
like, it's made of styrofoam.
Like, he's just, like, ripping it apart crumbling it into pieces.
And so
he's
like, all Superman.
Well, yeah. Literally, the wizard picks up a piece and, like, tries to squeeze it. He's like, no, that's marble. Like, this guy's breaking marble with his bare hands. Which, until the wizard did that, I thought this was all some sort of humbug. I thought the guy was like, oh, yeah, we're really strong.
My throne?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Like, it's all set up and he just does it.
Like, it's made of feta cheese.
I was not thinking that they were actually, because I was like, they just have the giants for show.
Well, maybe they do, because then a giant enters. And the giant is like, hey, the cook burnt the soup and, like, I don't know what we should do about it.
The Tsarevich's like, how dare you interrupt me? And he picks up the giant by one hand, like by one leg with one hand, and throws him out the window.
Oh,
head first. Right out the window. So that giant's dead.
No.
Dead.
The Tsarevich turns to Button Bright and he's like, I asked you if that man in Philadelphia could break stones with his hands. And Button Bright's like, gee, guess not. Dorothy is like, Tsarevich, what makes you so strong? What is it?
Zozo.
Zozo.
Yeah, that's going to be on your next time on quiz.
They're like, Zozo? And he's like, oh, yeah, this is Zozo.
Yeah.
I make it. It's one of my own inventions.
He invented it. He feeds it to his people, and that's what gives them this insane strength.
He asks Dorothy if she wants to try some, and she's like, I don't want to be all skinny like that. And he's like, you can't have all the power and flesh.
Which is not true.
Choose one or the other.
You can have flesh on your bones and also be super strong. That's actually how that works.
The Zozo is pure energy.
Pure energy.
It's the only compound of its kind in the entire world.
Oh my God,
and he keeps it locked
mutants.
Away. He is, yeah.
They're
literally
mutants.
He keeps it locked away so the giants can't get to it. But once a year, he feeds a teaspoon of it by hand to each citizen.
By hand?
I made up the by hand thing.
Okay. I was like, damn, he's busy.
But like,
literally, in order to keep it away from the giants, they must come in one citizen at a time to be fed their portion.
Probably, yeah.
The citizens just come to them.
Literally. But they only get a teaspoon. That way, they're just almost as strong as he is. But they're a strong nation. But Vig the Tsarevich asked the wizard if he'd like a dose. And the wizard's like, you know, that Zozo could come in handy and from time to time. Why don't I just take it in a to-go cup?
Yeah, he's like, I'll take it to go.
What?
And Tsarevich says, yeah, no problem. Like, we'll get you six doses. But he's like, but only take one teaspoon at a time.
Wait, why?
Well, there was one time when someone took two teaspoons.
Who?
Ugu the Shoemaker.
What happened?
Well, he took two teaspoons and he knocked over the city wall because he got too strong.
Button Bright is like, Jesus fucking Christ, who is Ugu the shoemaker?
Button Bright's eyes light up. Like, it's like that thing in like a cartoon where his eyes like spin like it's a slot machine.
Oh, yeah,
and like both of them like land on Zasozo because he's like, whoa. He's like, so who's Ugu? Like, who is Ugu? Why would you say that name out loud like that?
He's like, I get it. I ate the peach, for fuck's sake.
But he doesn't bring up the peach. No, just for reference, he's asking these questions, but he hasn't told anyone about this.
He should tell someone.
He should. Hopefully he will.
Zoroover tells them that Ugu was a great magician who used to live in the city of the Herkus, but he's since gone away.
So the wizard, now his eyes are rolling around, and he's like, ding, 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 because he's like, oh, shit, like, we're looking for a possibly magical person who could have stolen Ozma, like, maybe that's it. So he's like, okay, like, so about this Ugu, like, where did he go? Like, what's that about?
And he moved up into the mountains west of the city. He made a wickerwork castle that not even the Herkus are strong enough to, like, invade.
Which confuses me, because when they said wicker work, I was like, oh, like a big wicker castle. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
But if it's made of wicker, the Herku could get to it. So I don't understand.
I don't get what that means.
Yeah.
Could have Googled it, didn't. But yeah, the wizard's like, well, this is very good news. This has to be the magician that we're searching for. And so he's like, wait, why is this guy called Ugu the Shoemaker?
So get this. He was a normal person. He was a shoemaker in the city. But he just happened to be descended from the greatest wizard or sorcerer in any land, anywhere.
So who is that?
Well, we don't know.
Well, I thought that was Glinda.
That's what I was
thought
thinking.
It was going to be.
I thought that was Glinda. I was told many, many times that was Glinda.
Yeah, I feel like...
So Glinda's a mommy?
Although Glinda is the most powerful sorceress now, but... As we learn, this guy's great-grandfather was the one who was the most powerful wizard. So one day, Ugu is like, I don't know what he's doing, but he finds a bunch of books and like materials in the attic of his house. And he's like, oh shit, this is my great-grandpa's magic stuff, and this is all super powerful. Now I'm super powerful. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Because he's like, I don't really need to be around you guys anymore. I'm chilling with my own like magical thing. I'm super powerful. So he leaves.
Dorothy is like, hey, do you think that this Ugu would be wicked enough to steal Ozma, the magic picture, Glinda's book of records, and the wizard's magic tools? The Zoroover's like, I don't know if Ugu's wicked per se, but he really wants to be the most powerful magician in all the world. So stealing your shit is probably something he'd do if he could get away with it.
Yeah. He's like, that sounds like something he could have done. And Dorothy's like, well, what about Ozma? And Zoroover says, I don't know. Like, I don't know what he would do. You'd really have to ask him. Like, I don't know him.
She's
we don't talk.
Ask him. That's what we'll do. We're going to go ask him. We're going to go fucking
Everyone
ask him.
Stop saying that we need to ask him.
I know. Well, Zoroover says, well, don't ask him. He's like, no, like, don't go find him. Like, do not go searching for him. Like, if he did take Ozma, he is keeping her prisoner. Like, no matter what you guys could do, like, there's no way. It's just dangerous. Like, don't do it.
Go home and get a new ruler for this.
Yeah, literally, he's like, choose a new ruler. Choose anyone else. Like, you don't. And he's like, you don't even know if he has Ozma. Like,
that's my best friend.
By the way, did they tell him about the whole Ozma being stolen thing yet?
They asked if Ozma was there.
Okay, okay, you're right, you're right. Because I was just like, when I was reading this, I was like, I don't think this really got brought up yet, but okay.
But the wizard is like, well, if we don't know if he's the one who took Ozma, there's only one way to find out. We got to go the fuck up there. The wizard is like, we don't know if he has Ozma. There's only one way to find out. We got to go the fuck up there. If Ugu has taken Ozma captive, then they're going to notify Glinda, and she's going to find a way to rescue Ozma. So it's like, they're going to get this shoemaker guy if he's the one.
And Zoroover says, do what you want. Like, but if you end up transformed into hummingbirds, it's on you. Oh. I don't know why he said that specifically, but
he's
that is what he
that
said.
Happened before.
He must have, yeah. Yep. That must have been the last thing that Ugu did before he left.
But so they stay the night in the city of Herku. They get to a big feast. They get nice rooms in the palace.
Okay.
They don't even do like a performance of their strength. They don't even like show them how they can like break stuff.
Or have the giants do something.
I'm like, make the giants sing a song. Yeah. You ever seen Ella Enchanted when they sing that queen song?
That's good.
Exactly. But they don't. They just, like, enjoy themselves. The wizard is given a little bottle of Zasozo. And, like, as they're leaving, like, the Zoroaster is like, hey, don't go, guys. Don't. Leave Ugu alone. And they're like, girl, we have to do that. Yeah,
be like, sorry, we're
Dorothy's
only...
like, sorry, crawling on top of my lion right now.
Yeah, can't quite hear. Reception's bad. And then they give him a cordial goodbye, and they start heading west.
Okay.
And that man was a slave king. That man enslaved all these giants. Good. Why are they being so nice to him?
Yeah.
Isn't this crazy to anybody? Nice to
him, he actually. Sucks.
By the end of this chapter, I was like, oh, but
we didn't free
the giants.
He has
a bunch of enslaved. He has at least 40 enslaved people.
Yeah, and he threw that guy out the window.
Yeah,
I forgot about
these
that.
Are not. He is not a good man.
We just don't care. Oh, because it's Russia, Prussia.
Well, by the Tsar, I don't know, but. That was for me at the end of that chapter. I was like, by the middle, I was like, oh, well, like when they said that they had golden collars attached to their bodies, I was like, oh, so this is a bad king. And then at the end, literally the last thing is they gave him a cordial goodbye. And I was like, I mean, to survive maybe, but like they're going to come back and free those
they
giants,
have, they
right?
They don't have magic right now.
Exactly.
It's honestly kind of like in the last book when like they were all leaving the Gnome King and they're like, bye, Calico, it was great. Good, we had
yeah,
a good time here.
I guess so. Either way.
I guess keep your enemies closer
than yeah. your friends.
Until you get Ozma back. Until Ozma's back.
That is.
But that is the end of chapter 12, the Tsar over of Herku. And Blake, what would you over that?
I would over that the sole suspect, because he's a shoemaker and he's our first suspect.
Got it.
Soul.
Yeah.
Soul.
Like this
soul,
one.
Soul.
Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we continue with Chapter 13, The Truth Pond. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swingham. Co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Klobus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.